couple of weeks ago, Mel and I were on holidays down in Tassie. And we had a great time down there. And we're on this this cruise down at Bruny Island. And the guy, he was telling us all about this good stuff about Bruny Island and stuff like that. But he made this one comment that Tasmania has the cleanest air in the world. And I'm like, yeah, good on ya. Come on, you can't go past Queensland. Come on. But he's like, no, no, you can't go. You know, Tasmania has the clearest air. So that got my old, you know, grey matter going. And I consulted good old Captain Google. And rightly so. If you know Tasmania is shaped like a bit of a triangle, okay, up in the left-hand corner there, you've got a place called Cape Grim. Okay, Grim, yeah, that's it, Grim. And right there is a place called the Baseline Air Pollution Station. Who knows this? Does anyone know this? Oh, fantastic. The reason why that air pollution station is right there is if you follow from that top left-hand corner of Tasmania, right round, you'll go underneath South Africa, you go right round, and you'll go bang straight into Argentina. Okay, the weather system that controls that weather is called the Roaring Forties. So the weather comes streaming around the base there from Argentina. It doesn't go over any landmass at all until it hits Cape Grim. And that is where they get the baseline for air pollution, okay? Because it's the cleanest air that comes right round through there. And you're like, Justin, we're at church. What are you telling me this for? I'm glad you asked. Because there's a baseline. And as Christians, we need a baseline. We need a baseline for where we live our lives. Who's heard that so many people, they maybe tell them a lie, but they say, this is my truth. Oh, yeah. Yeah, who's heard that? This is my truth. And sometimes it's completely wrong. We need a baseline for where our truth is. Okay? I dug a little bit further, good old Captain Google, and it works out that just on Wednesday, the air pollution in Brisbane was 23. I thought, yeah, that's pretty good, fantastic. On Thursday, it was only 9. I thought, wow, there you go, Queensland for the win. Did a bit more research, and the extreme, there was one in India, a place in India, which was 278. With the recommendation that you don't even go outside, you close the doors and the windows, you put a mask on, you turn on your air purifier. If you do any exercise, you do it inside. Don't go outside at all because health hazards and everything else. So I'm like, this is just blowing my brain away. But it made me think, as I was researching this, I was thinking about our baseline as Christians. What do we base our faith on? What is our baseline? Which led me to a few things. But before we get there, let's just pray. Father, I just pray that right now, you'll open our hearts, Lord, to receive your word. Lord, the foundation of who you are today in our lives. Lord, help us to make sure that our baseline is right. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, I just want to get myself set up here. The first thing I want to look at, I've got 10 points and then we've got a few others after that. And I just want to quickly look at, here we go, a couple of scriptures about what is our baseline. Let's just really just nut out, what do we believe? What is it about Jesus today that is our baseline for what we believe in? And probably some of you will go straight to the first point. Yep, that's right, that Jesus is the Son of God. Do we believe that? Amen. I'm glad we do. The scripture there is Matthew 3:17, and it says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is really the central truth of our Christian faith. Amen. It's affirmed in Matthew. And Jesus himself, he acknowledges this identity. It's a foundation of his divinity and unique relationship with God. This is my beloved Son. I love that. Mr. AV, number two. Jesus is the Messiah. And the scripture there is Isaiah 9, verse 6. And it says, oh, you guys should be able to quote this. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Yes! Do we believe this? Jesus, the Messiah. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus is identified as the long-awaited Messiah. We even have the story of the lady at the well, okay, in John 4, where it says, she says to Jesus, I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. He witnesses to that as well, that Jesus is the Messiah. Point number three, Jesus is fully human and fully divine. Thank you, sir. In Philippians 2, verse 6 and 7, it says, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Fully man, fully God. Fully man, fully God. It's something that it's the basis of our faith as well. It is. Let's move on to number four. Jesus lived a sinless life. Do we believe this stuff? Yeah? Okay, Hebrews 4 verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews declares that Jesus was without sin, a crucial aspect of his role as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Despite facing temptations himself, Jesus remained morally pure, demonstrating his righteousness to us. Do we believe this? Is this our baseline? Is this our baseline? Number five, Jesus performed miracles. And we read in John 20, 30 to 31, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in the book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have a life in his name. Good scriptures. We can baseline stuff. Jesus did miracles. Do we believe this? Do we believe that those miracles can happen today? Yes. Amen. We need to get this as a baseline in place. Point number six, Jesus died on the cross for the sins of humanity. Died for our sins. We can quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? Do we believe this? Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our baseline right here. That's a fundamental thing right there. Point number seven, Jesus rose from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to 4, for I delivered you as of the first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, in accordance with the scriptures. The resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone of our faith, isn't it? There's lots of other people or other gods that claim to be the one God that they did not raise. Jesus was the only one. Those witnesses, those detailed witnesses of the event where Jesus was raised from the dead. Foundational stuff, baseline for our very faith right there. Point number eight, Jesus ascended to heaven. Oops, did I miss one? No. Jesus ascended to heaven. Okay, we have Acts 1, verses 9 to 11. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into the heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the heavens? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come into the same way, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Also Hebrews 1 verses 1 to 2, it says, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us all lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I love these scriptures. I love this, especially the Hebrews one. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's not worry about anything else. Let's just focus on what Jesus thinks about us. Foundational stuff right here. Foundational stuff. Number 9. Jesus will return. Do we believe this? Yeah? We believe this? Jesus will return. Revelations 22:12 says, "Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." He will return. Amen. Foundational stuff. Okay, there's heaps of others, but I've pulled out these 10. Last one here. Jesus offers salvation to all who believe. Do we believe this? It's not just a select few, it's everyone. It's everyone. Through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus provides a way for us to be reconciled with Father and receive an eternal life. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We need to get these scriptures right in here into our heart. It's foundational stuff. Okay, so we've got our baseline. Is that all we need? No? I heard a no there. What else do we need? I'm going to tell you. As a tradie, I've done bricklaying, I've done plastering, tiling, carpentry, cabinet making. And there's one tool, and I reckon Jono would use it in painting, and I reckon Muzz would use it quite a lot. Even plumbers and electricians, they'll use this tool as well. There's one tool that they all need. Anyone got a guess? A hammer. Do you use a hammer, Jono? Sometimes? Yeah. It's a spirit level. It's a level. And why do you reckon that is? Yeah, to make sure things are level. Okay. Have a baseline. Oh, this is spot on. Look at that. Well done. This is good. That's rare to see. We need a baseline and we need a level for where everything goes. And we need to apply this to our lives. Okay? So when I was doing bricklaying, you wouldn't just lay it flat on the ground. When you're doing bricks, you'd put it on the diagonal as well, check the diagonal. You'd actually make sure they're nice and plumb that way, across the top, that way. Every single angle you could have, you'd apply the level to. Okay? To make sure everything was going to be spot on. Because if you didn't use a level, ouch, everything would probably fall down. It was a mess. In the same way, we're just going to look at some things that Jesus told us on how we are meant to live our lives. And we're going to apply this as a level to our lives. We've got Jesus, our foundation, and what he means to us today. Now we're going to see, what does Jesus want from us? How are we meant to live our lives today, right now? The first thing, I'm just going to give you scripture because you can't go wrong with scripture. Is that true? All righty, the first one is Matthew 22, 37 to 39. Okay, and we see the scripture there where it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus summarizes right here the greatest commandments as loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. This emphasizes the importance of love in our relationships with God and others. That's foundational again. Love God, love man. Do we agree with that one?
Yep.
Number two there. Okay, Matthew 5, 14 to 16, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I love this. Jesus instructs his followers to let their light shine right there before others so that they may see their good works, their good deeds, and glorify God. This is important for our lives. It's not so we can get a swelled head. It's all about our Father. We love others so we can give glory to the Father. Is this true?
Yeah.
Number three here, it's Matthew 5, 43, and it says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." Is this identifying ourselves with the Father if we do this? Love our enemies. Pray for those that persecute us. Even when that person cuts us off on the M1. Do we do that? Do we say, "Lord, bless that person right there"? Do we do that?
With a flat tire.
No, it's actually, you know, it's true. Those people that cut us off or may push in or they could be busy. We don't know what's going on in their lives. You know, love those. Love our enemies. Pray for those that persecute us. These are things, they're just foundational things that Jesus is asking us to do. Next one, number four. Matthew 6, verse 19. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." How true is that? How true is that? These are just scriptures straight out of the New Testament about what Jesus is asking of us. In this place, he encourages us to store up treasures in heaven rather than on earth, emphasizing the importance of prioritizing spiritual wealth over material possessions. Number five, I've got a few here for us. Matthew 5 is huge. Here we go. Matthew 6:25-34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What came out in worship there before? About handing over our anxieties, handing over our concerns, just laying them down. Here we go, straight away in Matthew. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek righteousness, all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Here's the clincher right here. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus has told us, don't be anxious about this type of stuff, but seek ye first. Seek ye first his kingdom, his righteousness. There's a bit of a priority here, isn't there? It's about putting Jesus first, putting the kingdom first. Number six, it's Matthew 7:12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, you also do to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the golden rule. Basically, do unto others what you want them to do to you. If you want them, I used to use this all the time when I was a chaplain at a school. I'd have the little primary schoolers come up and say, they're not being my friend. And I'd say, are you being friendly to them? No. Well, what do you expect? It's a golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. If you want people to love you, then you need to love them. It's pretty easy, isn't it? Yeah? No? Okay, a couple more. Number 7. Luke 10:25-33. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan right here. We all know this parable of the Good Samaritan, don't we? It's illustrating the command to love our neighbors by showing mercy and compassion to those in need. I love the end of this down to the verse 37, where Jesus says, now you go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. How often do we show mercy and compassion to others? See, we've got our baseline, bring up the spirit level and apply it to our lives about, Are we nice and spot on? Are we flat? Are we in a good spot? Are we doing these things? Or do we need to make some adjustments? Are we a little bit out of skew if? Are some of these things like, oh, gee, I'm not doing that. Then do we need to make some adjustments so that we are spot on where Jesus wants us to be on the baseline? Does this make sense? Yeah? Okay, a couple more. We're almost there. Number 8. Matthew 16:24, and Jesus calls his followers to take up their cross and follow him. He emphasized here in the scripture the importance of self-denial and commitment to following his example. Let's just read that out. And it says there that Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whatever or whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. There's a kind of dying to self there, isn't there? It's not about us. It's all about the Father. It's all about Jesus right there. It's not about standing in line or I'm going to be first or whatever. No. It's about thinking of others more than yourself. These are all just fundamental scriptures straight out of the Word. I'm not making this up. If you've got a problem with this, take it up with the Father. Number 9, we're almost there. Matthew 28. Jesus commissions his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything he commanded. This underscores the importance of sharing the message of salvation and teaching others to live according to Jesus' teachings. We know the scripture where it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Number 10 is John 13. Jesus commands his disciples to love one another as he has loved them, stating that this love will be the identifying mark of his followers. Right here, this highlights the centrality of love in the Christian faith and in our community. This scripture here says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you also. You are also to love one another. By this is it right here. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. When people look at us, what do they see? I heard a story that Josiah and Rachel told me there the other day. They were somewhere, and they just had this opportunity just to talk to these people. And straight away, this person, they started telling their story, how they just started to come to faith. That's right, hey, Rachel? Yeah. And for some reason, they felt that they were comfortable just to be able to talk to Josiah and Rachel because they sensed there was something different about them. By this, all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another. We're here not just to fill this place and have a good time, but to invite others here and to, while we're out in the world, at work, wherever we are in the street, at the supermarket, thinking, how can we help that person? If we see someone that's having a rough day, do we get around that person and say, hey, can I share your coffee? What's going on? Are we Jesus' hands and feet in this place? Yeah? Just as we're worshiping. Father, if I could have the Samuel joke, please. Yeah. Father laid a scripture upon my heart. And it was kind of backed up by, I heard young Noah wanting to be with his mum and dad up on stage here. Such was his desire just to be with Sam and Joe. And straight away, Father just gave me this picture about our desire. How much do we love our God? That we have such a desire that we just want to spend time in his presence. And I saw this. I saw Sam and Joe's heart yearning to be with their son because he was crying. And it's like this picture of what our relationship with Father should be, that we should just be yearning to spend that time in his presence. I can only just picture, and as a father myself and our granddaddy, I imagine Sam just wanted to run down, put his guitar down, and just pick up his son and comfort him, because no one knows that that's a safe place. Right there in his dad's arms. Do we know where our safe place is. Is it on the phone, talking to other people? Or is our safe place running to the arms of a father? It's a safe place. We've got our baseline, our spirit level, to make sure that these things, when we apply them to our lives, everything's spot on. Are we doing these things, or do we need to make some adjustments because it's not quite level? With your relationship with Jesus, are you perfectly where God wants you to be, where the Father wants you to be? With your relationship, is it just a relationship where you just tag this on, yeah, I'm a Christian, but through the week it's different? Or is it 24/7, 365? Is your desire to be in God's presence all the time? Do you have this yearning that is just, you can't contain, where you just want to be in God's presence? How much is your, that relationship with Jesus, does it just overtake your life? How much of a passion do we just want to fall on our knees and just worship our God because He loves us? I just want to read something out to you. This really just got me going. This is the heart of Jesus right here. It's in John 17, verse 20. And it's red letters, so Jesus speaking here, just as we close. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as you are one, as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Such is the relationship between Jesus and the Father, and that Jesus wants with us here, right now. Let's just pray. Oh, Father, we just thank you for you, that you love us so much, that you care for us, that you want so much for us. You want us to run into your arms when things are going wrong. You want us to run into your arms and just sit at your feet. Oh Lord, reveal in our hearts if there's any areas that we need to adjust. If there's things where we're just not right, then help us to adjust those areas, Lord. Father, have your way in our lives. Help us to be everything you want us to be, Lord God. That we won't be concerned about the things of the world. But Lord, we just want what your heartbeat is for this place. We want to know and live, Lord God, in that space, Lord, where you are all the time. Jesus' name we